All right, we're back. TJ Trapp, Brandon Vogt, Pavlos Panagopoulos is in here with us at Terra Advisor Networks. Very nicely. Why am I yelling? You brought BV a birthday cupcake.
Yes, thanks to Nikki.
That's
Nikki
right.
Reminded me that I need to bring BV a birthday cake.
Yeah.
I think it's the only birthday cake he got today, right?
Well, I don't know. Is this your first birthday cake?
This is the first one I've gotten.
Okay,
yeah.
So you got 2 6-packs of beer from me.
Oh, okay. I think he enjoyed that more.
Marble.
Okay.
And then now he's got that'll be good. The beer and the cup. Hey, speaking of Marble Brewery, I got to promote this quickly because we just had a meeting with Marble Brewery today.
Yeah.
So what I've always liked to do, the years and years and years I've been on the air here, we'd like to have some kind of a food drive for Thanksgiving. And so this is going to be the first one we're going to do over here at KKOB. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over to Marble Brewery downtown, okay, the one at First Street and Marble, on the day before Thanksgiving. We're going to do the show live from there with Roadrunner Food Bank. And
I can bring a can of corn and trade it for a can of beer?
All right, don't push it.
I like the idea.
I also want to give a shout-out to Fetish Cake. They're the ones that provided the cake there.
Ooh,
so thanks to Bill and his group at Fetish Cake.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, there you go. Good. But anyway, Wednesday the 27th,
that
I think,
sounds
is the day.
Great. That's okay. Great.
We're going to be doing that. Roadrunner Food Bank.
All right.
You'll be
what
there.
Great
yes,
cause.
Of course.
Rainey will be down there sitting there in the front at Marble, First Street and Marble, downtown, inviting everybody to show up, bring food, have a beer. It's the day before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Uber down.
Excellent.
Right. So
Roadrunner Food Bank is a great cause. I've had my children work there, and we've done work there at Roadrunner Food Bank. So great place to go, and great people there.
Absolutely. Died. We're back. TJ Trout, BV. We got Pavlos Panagopoulos in here with us from Satira Advisor Networks. So, a couple things. First off, I want to thank you and your wife. For showing me a good time. That didn't sound right, did it?
I know.
No, but it's not right. At Greek Fest.
It's a family program.
Yeah, I know. But at Greek Festival.
Yes, it was great. We had a fabulous festival.
She was the supreme host, and I don't know where you were, but she was very kind and showed us around, showed us where everything was, got us seated, got us fed, got us drunk. Didn't get drunk. She got drinks, you know.
Good. A little ouzo.
I avoid ouzo these days. I try to stay away
Greek
from
Greek fire water.
That stuff is just too dangerous. Well, it's Greek Jägermeister. It's actually what it is.
A little bit of licorice.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, sure. So, but great. I can't wait till next year.
Great. We're ready for you, TJ.
Okay. You also last time you were in here, you brought your corporate guy, Gene Goldman in.
Yes.
He was good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yes. And we had a nice evening. My clients loved it. If anybody wants to rewatch it, we have it on YouTube. And you just go to our website, myfinancialsense.com. And if you're bored and you want to see what the three reasons why this bull market will keep running, just go and check out that YouTube on myfinancialsense.com.
See, that's a great segue. Because we're going to talk about this for a little bit.
Yes, definitely.
So Brandon has several suitcases of money buried in his cow pasture. What should he do with them?
He should put it in gold.
Gold.
Gold?
Silver or something. Something hard. Some hard asset. Something that would, basically hold its value because, you know, it's basically paper.
Well, what about that? I mean, right now. I mean, the market is unreasonably high right now. It's setting records. Right. Does that bother you?
Not really, because we're seeing interest rates at the lowest level they've seen since 1941. So longer than you and I have been alive, TJ. Interest rates have not been this low. So if you haven't refinanced your mortgages on all those rental houses you have, better start thinking about refinancing because we may see rates go higher. And again, the dollar has devalued. If you look at the price of gold, it's right now at about 1500. So compared even to the euro has depreciated. But basically, if you look at two currencies, the dollar has fallen less bad, I guess, than what the euro has. The dollar has, it looks like it's strengthening, but all have fallen against gold. Gold was a little over a year ago was about 1,100, and now it's 1,500. So
okay, the Fed's dropped the rates again, right?
Right.
How much?
Another quarter point.
Another quarter point.
And they do it one more time in December. Then we're back where we started, like Back to the Future. You know, I feel like Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, but
back to where we started last year, 2018.
Okay, so is this a good thing? I mean, the argument against this is what if we get into a recession?
So
there's nowhere to go.
There's a great famous book, TJ, called The Creature from Jekyll Island. Who's that creature? Creature's the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
It was created in Jekyll Island back in the turn of the century, you've heard the story, by J.P. Morgan.
J.P. Morgan.
Right. And so basically the purpose of the Fed is to devaluate our money. So we lost, you know, 95% of our value since the turn of the century. The value of the dollar has depreciated. So you remember when we were kids, you go get a stick of gum, whatever, you know, a package of gum of 10 cents.
Yeah, right, sure.
They won't even sell you one stick of gum
for
10 cents. So you see everything is basically devaluated, and Obama had Janet Yellen, and Trump has Jerome Powell. Mm-hmm. So this is the third year of an incumbent president. So historically, markets have gone up during that third year of an incumbent president. Only George W. Bush, or George Senior Bush, George Herbert Bush,
right,
lost the election. Because you remember that story, right? It's the economy stupid, some other famous...
Yeah, sure. Like, yeah, but that was Clinton, yeah.
Right.
The economy stupid.
So the Fed knows that, and so the Fed is going to support who's ever in office, and that's just
right.
The case. So.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, Herbert Walker Bush, I mean, he came into power in the midst of the recession in the... wasn't right. It the recession in the 80s?
Right? Yeah, 1990, there was a recession,
sure.
Right?
Right.
And remember... remember you also our friend Jimmy Carter, and you know, it said Paul Volcker, who was Fed chairman then, said, what I have to do to fix this economy, Jimmy, is I have to raise interest rates 18%. And Jimmy Carter looked at him and said, well, if it's the right thing to do,
oh my God,
then just do it.
That was the biggest cluster
right.
ever. That was
right.
That was terrible.
But it fixed the economy, and guess what? Then Reagan came in, and that was the biggest bull market run in history, right?
No, but there was a big recession in the early 80s, though.
Correct.
Reagan was in, and then the market tanked.
Right.
In the 80s. I mean,
so,
right.
So basically, Carter,
yeah,
but Carter was a one-term president, right?
Oh, but that was terrible when he was president. The inflation was like, right, 16-18%. Right. That was nuts. All right, but back
so
to
don't
this.
Fight. Don't fight the Fed. I guess what I'm saying, don't fight
okay.
the Fed.
All right, don't fight the Fed.
Don't
okay,
fight
so
the
just
Fed.
go with the flow, is what you're saying.
Because they're going to bury you in dollars. All that cash that Brandon has in his, you know, they're going to drop it with helicopters. You know, Brandon can just get his rake out there and start raking up some more cash so he can bury in his pasture.
Okay, well, sure. Okay, look, all right. It's this high. People are enjoying it. Right,
correct.
The market,
they're still worried. They're still calling me saying, they're still calling me, TJ, and saying, when's the market going to crash? And every time I get a vote for the market crashing, I go, great. The market always climbs a wall of worry.
Right.
The more
sure.
people are worried, the more you're on the radio saying this market's going to crash, the more I'm saying it's going to go higher.
All right, now, listen, don't say that about me.
Right.
Because I have not been saying that. And I get accused of saying that. You just you want a recession just because you hate Trump. And
No, it's not true. No.
I got too much skin in this. I don't want a recession.
No. Nobody wants a recession.
What's the likelihood of a recession in 2020?
I say it's going to be higher as maybe we get closer to 2021, because 2020 will be the election. So as we get closer to 2021, there'll probably be a recession.
Okay, what happens during an election year like this?
So the Fed is
generally
basically lowering interest rates, which they do that because they want to get their incumbent reelected, and the president's going to do whatever he can. Now, remember, the Democrats are going to push against, you know, infrastructure or any type of things that might help President Trump. So if they pass this new NAFTA trade thing, the North American trade thing, they're not going to pass that because that gives Trump a feather in his cap. So they're going to be, but the Fed is helping Trump. And the other thing that's really helped a lot is the tax cuts. So rich guys like you, TJ, mm-hmm. who's paying a little less in taxes, that really helps the economy because you and I spend more money and that spurs the economy. Lower taxes helps. You know, we talk about Elizabeth Warren, which I know you're going to bring up here in a minute.
Yeah.
You know, she wants to put all of Wall Street out of business and tax all the rich people. And
well, that's an overgeneralization. But,
right.
But she wants to, let's put it this way. When I was going to ask you, you know, we can talk about this now if you want,
yeah.
because I was going to ask you, Wall Street already said if Warren is the Democratic nominee, they are pulling all support. They're not going to give, Wall Street will give the Democrats no money. Should they? Should they feel that way?
We know, well, Wall Street has a lot of skeletons in their closet because we know what happened in 2008 with the mortgage crisis. And so Elizabeth Warren might have some, you know, political father saying, hey, look at what Wall Street did to our economy. And, you know, there wouldn't be much argument with that. But a lot of people like myself have money in their retirement accounts.
Yes.
In the market.
Sure.
And so we do want things to be fair when we invest our money, but there are people that feel like things aren't so fair.
Well, I mean, the impression I get is we're going to do a traffic. And then we'll get back. Then we get back to this. Yeah. But we're not done with Wall Street yet.
Yes. Let's not get too excited. We don't want anybody crashing their car.
No. No. Of course not. But we'll try not to do that. All right. We're back. She did drop. We got BV over there. Pavlos Papadopoulos.
BV's birthday. Don't forget.
It is.
Yes. That's right. Sing happy birthday to him. But I can't sing, and neither can TJ.
That's so. All right.
No, that's okay. All right. Not now. We're not done with Wall Street because Gary Johnson's a buddy of mine. Okay.
We all like him, our former governor.
Yeah. However, good guy. I think some of the things are short-sighted that he talks about, specifically regulations, because libertarians just want a completely free market.
Right.
You know, and I'm overgeneralizing here, but I think Wall Street is pretty would really like it to be the Wild West. I mean, not just a free market, an uber free market.
Right.
But if you do that, how do you stop the crooks? You need. I'm not defending Elizabeth Warren. I'm just saying you need some regulations on this stuff.
Sure.
Because if you don't have the regulations, people are going to do the same thing over again. Just how got us in the trouble in 2008, the biggest economic turndown since the Depression.
So basically, it's the fat cats on Wall Street. So it's not people like me who are helping individuals with their retirement planning and college funds for the kids. I mean, we're roll up our sleeves, financial planners.
Yeah.
And people that, you know, basically are talking to clients. But that's who the regulations come down on, DJ. The fat cats are not the ones that are subject to regulations. I am licensed. As a matter of fact, since I got my securities license, anybody can just go to brokercheck.com and check out any financial advisor. I mean, we are so overregulated. You know, there's stuff that we have to do, TJ, that has nothing to do with our business. So I have to do like things like hedge funds and private placements, which you don't even do anything about. But like you said, there's so much corruption. But I think it comes from the top. I think
I agree with you.
The people that need to go after is not the little guy.
I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not pointing at you.
Right.
You're in the trenches,
right.
Man.
It's like the guy. You know. They go with the guy on the street. You know. They go after, but they're not going after the one that's really the culprit.
This is the guy I want them to go after. The guy who will again. The next guy who tries to bundle bad mortgages together and sell them as Class A.
Right. And remember Michael Milken.
Yeah.
He was a genius. I mean, he came up with this idea of junk bonds, and they got the junk bonds to have AAA rating.
Yeah.
And that was before the mortgage crisis. That was back in the 90s.
Right.
So you're right. Every 10 years or so, some whiz kid comes up with a newfangled way to sell basically crap to individuals.
Right.
And they basically have to buy that. And even the rating agencies like Standard & Poor's and Moody's, they rate those bonds AAA. Those mortgages were rated AAA.
Yeah.
And they were basically junk.
Well, that's it. It stinks.
Right.
It stinks.
But they had that AAA rating. But they had that AAA rating.
But not you. I'm talking about way above.
Right.
And this is why I have some sympathy, not a whole bunch of sympathy, but some sympathy about what Elizabeth Warren says. You need regulation so this crap doesn't happen again.
Right, but in her case, she's like the nanny police. It goes even back to Brexit. I mean, Brexit was so erroneous on the British people that they're now saying, we're done with this.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need the nanny state. So there is a fine line. You're right, TJ. But what I think that people need to understand and think about Wall Street and Elizabeth Warren does is they never go after the fat cats. The regulation goes down on the man on the street.
See,
that's what costs us so much money, and regulations, that really what hurts us.
See, this is what upsets people so much, because they see the corruption. They see the corruption at Wall Street. They see the corruption in politics, and I don't care which side you're on.
Or going to college, right?
Right. But if
you're Felicity, Huffington, you know, your kid gets into college, right?
Right.
That's not
exactly
fair. It's not
but
fair.
Nothing changes. And that's why I understand the Trump movement, because I think the Trump movement is not Republican or not Democrat. The Trump movement is the Trump movement.
Exactly. It's not. Remember, for all of our listeners out there, Trump was never a Republican.
Yeah.
He was a Democrat turned Republican, just like a Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was a Democrat turned Republican. And so it is a movement, like you said, it's a populist movement. And if anybody wants to listen about what's happened with Trump, listen to what you hear from Nigel Farage. He's the guy that did Brexit. And Trump is taking a page out of the Brexit.
Yep.
And so this populist movement is carrying over worldwide. So if you want to look
at it's European. All the Europe.
Yes, the European countries. And it's now, you know, moving to Hong Kong. And so they're carrying American flags. And, you know, it's a populist movement.
Yep. All right. Pavlos Papadopoulos in here. We'll get to some stuff. some local stuff. Let's bring it back down to earth.
Okay.
And it's my fault. I took it there. So
yes, you and I like to fly at 10,000 feet.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry about it. All right. TJ Drop BV 94.5 FM AM 770 News Radio KKOB. Hold on. All right, we're back. TJ Drop. We got BV over there. We have Pavlos Bonacopoulos in here from Sotera Advisor Networks. Having arguments about the economy and Wall Street and whatever else.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren. We're not having arguments. We're just having a lively discussion.
Oh, well,
yes.
Yeah.
Lively.
Sure. All right. I don't know how many bond. Well, you voted in Santa Fe County.
Yeah, I think there's eight.
All right.
Yes, I voted in Valencia County. So.
Oh. Well, you're not even involved in this.
Yeah, well, I have bonds. I have bonds.
Oh, no, you got bonds too. Bonds. Okay, so we've got all these bonds. We got
I always support, yes.
Huge list of bonds.
The 10 bond questions.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, again, explain investing in bonds.
Well, bonds are basically debts that are owed, and you have a term on them. So it could be 5 years, could be 10 years. And it's a promise from the entity. If it's municipal bond, it would be from the municipality, or it could be a state. And they agree to pay you a fixed rate of interest. Usually it's paid every 6 months. So if it's 4%, they pay you 2% for 6 months. And then the next 6 months, they pay another 2%. If it's from a municipality, like the bonds we voted for today, that interest is tax-free. And at the maturity date of
really?
The bond...
It's tax-free?
Tax-free. In New Mexico, it's double tax-free.
Okay.
So as long as it's issued by a New Mexico municipality, it's exempt from both state and federal taxes.
Okay.
And when that bond matures, so let's say it matures in the year 2030, they give you back your principal. That's cool.
So you've been earning interest on your principal, like 2%, 2%, 2%, 2%, and then at the end...
10 years.
In the end, you get your cash back.
Correct. Now, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But would you believe there is $17 trillion today, right now as we speak, in debt that's paying a negative rate of interest, which means they take money away from you, and that's sovereign debt. And that's never happened in the history of the world.
Is that a bad sign?
That's a very bad sign, yes. So that's a lot of European countries like Germany, France are now, and even Switzerland are taking money out of their bondholders and giving them back less. And they'll even pay you.
Well, that sucks.
Yes, they'll even pay you in Sweden to get a mortgage. So if you want to get a mortgage, they'll pay you to get a mortgage.
Why is that not happening here?
We are close because now we lowered interest rates another quarter point.
Right.
And so everybody's fearful that we could go into negative interest rates. And matter of fact, would you believe my ancestral home, of course, I was born in the United States, but Greece has a lower rate of interest than the United States. So Greece.
So they're giving their money away.
Right. They pay a lower rate of interest than we do here. So usually the bonds that have higher interest are deemed as being more, more risky. But in this case, the United States is still the best house in an ugly neighborhood. And we still pay a positive rate of interest on our bonds.
Is that going to continue?
We haven't seen rates this low since 1941. And again, you asked about the stock market. Why is the stock market going up so much? Well, if you got the 10-year Treasury bond paying 2% and dividends on stocks, like different stocks, they're paying maybe 5 or 6%. Maybe people feel like putting their money in the stock market is a better way because I'm going to get 5 or 6% and they may increase the dividends.
Yeah.
And a bond, I may be stuck with it for 10 years or 20 years getting
2%. 2%. Right. Okay.
And that segues to gold.
Okay. But bonds are good if you're in a recession.
Correct. But with rates being as low as they are, how low could they go?
Right.
And could we go into negative interest rates like they have done in Europe?
Right. We don't want that to happen.
There's some people that, remember we talked about the creature from Jekyll Island, there's some people that feel like, they do whatever it takes to get the economy growing again.
I have a follow-up.
They don't believe it. Basically, they don't want recession.
Okay, I have a follow-up question for that. First, let's do a traffic with Sean, and then I'll get to it. Having to do with what were we just talking about? Recession. Okay, again, back to recession. I'm sorry. All right, a couple follow-ups for Pavlos Panagopoulos. T.H. Rout here. We got BB. We got Anthony. Well, we will get to you, Anthony. Do not go away. We'll get to your call. Okay, what we were talking about, different thing, you're lowering the interest rates, you're doing all this stuff. However, are there any actual things that the Fed or the federal government can do to forestall a recession? Or is the market just way too big for anything to have us to have an effect on it? Because the market's cyclical, right?
Right. So it's modern monetary theory is what it's called. And there's a lot that believe in that. It doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans. There's a lot of belief in modern monetary policy. And that comes back from Keynesian economics. And my background is really more as an Austrian school of economics. And what I believe is you just forestall the inevitable, and when the inevitable comes, it's worse. So having recessions periodically, I think, helps cleanse the economy. Let's say, TJ, you're a young guy, you know, 1986, August, and you're coming to Albuquerque.
That's about right.
You know, you're starting in 94 Rock.
Yeah.
And you want to start a business. If all the old guys can never go bankrupt because the government keeps them in business, that's almost like socialism itself, right?
I mean,
you know, the Republicans scream socialism, but in some ways, modern monetary theory could be considered socialistic in keeping businesses that
should fail,
right? Like Japan. Japan would never let their banks fail or their companies. So they have a bunch of zombie companies running around, and their economy is not growing, and they have a bunch of old people, and they're not seeing their economy thrive. And the Japanese market, how about stock market crash? The Japanese market was at 30,000 back in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Do the math. What day is today? Okay, right now it's not at like 25,000.
Yeah.
So that's a lost three decades.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the crash happens, it could be horrendous.
Well, do you think we're actually, by doing all these things that we're trying to do, lowering the interest rates and other things, are we actually creating a financial crisis? Is that possible?
I mean, it helps stocks go up. And so we see a lot of the FANG stocks, the Facebooks, Apple, Netflix, Google trading at, you know, 120 times earnings or 120 years. But then you see some relatively inexpensive stocks. Some energy stocks are relatively inexpensive, and so are some healthcare stocks. So there's always a bull market somewhere. Maybe it's in Hong Kong because they're having unrest. So there, I mean, there's always a bull market somewhere. So there, and there's always that Japan thing too. So I mean, you just got to move your money around to see where there's opportunity.
But back to my question is, are we by doing these things making it worse? Like you said, if a recession is going to come.
Maybe it's not the stock market so much, but maybe it's real estate market. So you look at both the right coast and the left coast houses there. A modest house that you live in, TJ, is over $1 million. How does the average millennial afford that mortgage payment? Even at interest rates at 3% on a 30-year treasury, how do you afford a house?
Yeah.
You know, millennials can't afford a house. So we've seen a lot of things go up. Besides the stock market.
Right, sure.
I mean, real estate could be a bubble.
All right, let's move on. Let's say, Anthony, you got a question? You're on the air.
Hey, Anthony.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So, 62 years old, got about $3,200 a month going to come in at 62 if I retire. I have a $60,000 lump sum that I'd like to put somewhere to get some yield, and it seems like there's no good places. So two parts. Where's a good place to invest? Is bonds, whatever, or is real assets like land or something like that might be a better investment?
I would say, Anthony, diversify. I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen. So if anybody tells you this is the absolute best investment, I have a crystal ball, I'd run the other way. You know, I think, you know, looking at different options, maybe keeping your money somewhat liquid, not locking it up in anything long term. Because we're about ready to go into an election year, and keeping things kind of fluid might make the most sense. So that's what I'd recommend, is something that would be liquid and fluid, and maybe something diversified, and looking at areas that are undervalued, and have a good manager.
What do you plan to do with the money?
Well, the $60,000 I want to use for the 3 years till I get to Medicaid to try to take care of my health care, to be honest. But I'd like to keep the sum intact and try to live off some of the interest to cover some of that expense.
And here's the issue. When interest rates are the lowest point they've been, Anthony, since 1941, and you've got the treasury bond, 10-year treasury bond at, you know, less than 2%, I mean, there's not a lot of places you can go without taking some risk. And that's really why the Fed's lowering interest rates, because people are pouring their money into the market because they're trying to find some yield.
So if he wants, if he wants to keep that sum intact,
I would just say
invest in something that gives dividends,
something that would give you dividends, or maybe something that's ultra short, you know, short term bonds would make some sense, something that would be, you know, liquid, you know.
Should be getting a little money every quarter
something
or something.
Would be something that would be, but your yield, you have to kind of accept, Anthony, your yield is going to be pretty low. I mean, you're barely going to keep up with inflation.
What about gold or something like that for the lumps, you know, maybe... Is that
I think gold is a great hedge, but if you put more than 10% in gold, you're making a bet on gold. And so we don't necessarily recommend making a bet on gold, but we do see gold as an insurance in case the Fed devaluates the currency. And, of course, gold has been one of those investments that's held its value over time. It is volatile, like other investments, but it's something that we recommend, you know, but again, as a portion of your portfolio, not as a... Put everything in it.
Well, again, if there's a recession, gold will go up.
Right. And inflation.
Hey, Anthony, got to go. Thanks.
Anthony, give us a call, 828-4068, and we can help you. Again, we're at Cetera here in Albuquerque. Again, 828-4068. We're located at Louisiana and Manal, and you can just stop by our office, and we can help you with any questions.
Okay, thanks, man. Talking to Pablo Spanogopoulos from Cetera Advisor Networks. You got to give your disclaimer, too, coming up.
Yes.
All right, as always. Hey, thanks for coming in, Pablo. This has been great. So, baby boomers are the problem, aren't they?
Yes. We're the pig and the python.
Because we are going to be retiring all at once.
Yes.
So
10,000 of us every day, TJ. 10,000.
So, they got to
fix all those 94 rock listeners.
Oh, I know.
So your fault.
They got to fix Social Security.
Love, drug, and rock and roll. Love, drugs, and rock and roll. We blame TJ for that.
Yeah, thanks. My fault.
It's all your fault.
Got to fix Social Security. Ever get done?
You know what we'll do? We'll stick it to the millennials. They'll raise the age to 70, and they'll raise the Social Security taxes. Because you know politicians, they always pass it down to the next generation. That's why people don't like politics.
Yep, I know. Yeah, they're going to have to do it. It's inevitable.
Down the road.
Right. So can people retire confidently in the next 5 years?
I think if you stay diversified, you stay liquid, and you keep your powder dry, and you look for opportunities, I think there could be some really great opportunities out there. But I would just say be careful of how you invest and find an independent advisor or somebody that gives you independent advice and check your resources and check your references because there's a lot of shysters out there, and you definitely want to use broker check and make sure the financial advisor you're dealing with is reputable.
The closer you get, the more conservative you should get.
Yes. Remember, we talked about that. As the older we get, we become more Republican, right? You're getting more Republican as we speak.
Yeah, I am. Yep. So, you know, always been a fiscal conservative. Yeah. Always.
Yes.
Maybe a social liberal.
Yes, and I think a lot of both Democrats and Republicans think that way, and they see how we print these trillions of dollars and what's going to, we're mortgaging our children's future, and that's just terrible.
Well, it's distressing. It's distressing. Borrow from Social Security.
And all we want to talk about is impeachment, but nobody wants to talk about being fiscal responsible.
Well, fix this stuff. Right, absolutely. All right, you have a disclaimer you need to read.
Yes, and I also want to mention real quick, on November 21st, we're doing ABQ Connect with Jeffrey Candelaria at Cheesecake Factory, Panagopoulos Agency. So any of our listeners, any of the ABQ Connect people, just write down that on your calendar Thursday the 21st, and they'll be from 5 until 8 p.m. at Cheesecake Factory. So, TJ, when you get off the radio, we'd love to have you come down and join us for some cheer. And lastly, I want to mention securities and investment advisory services are offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, and Cetera Advisor Networks is a member of the Securities Investors Protection Corporation. TJ, it's great being on, and, you know, you and I, our careers started about the same time.
They did.
August of 96.
And look at us.
Look at us. Look at where we ended up.
That's right.